Let's take your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 20, and I'll be reading verse 45 through verse 4 of chapter 21. And out of reverence to God, we just learned this word today. Luke chapter 20, beginning in verse 45. While all the people were listening, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who want to go along, or who want to go around in long robes, and he loved greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogue, and the places of honor and banquets. They devour women's houses and say long prayers just to show it. They will receive partial treasure." He looked up and saw the rich dropping their offerings into the temple treasury. He also saw a pool of widows dropping in two tiny coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all these people have put in gifts out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she has to give." Now, our verse in our passage starts with, "while all the people were listening." Now, that's one of those things that we need to understand why it's there. A lot of times, you can start with a verse, especially those verses that start with "therefore," and we don't look at why the word "therefore," why it's there. We need to look at what "therefore" is there for, or when it says "after," what came before. Well, let's look at what came before. Jesus has been teaching in the synagogue, or in the temple. Now, Jesus is in his final week before the crucifixion. What has previously happened, Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. The promised entry way or method of the Messiah. And the people were shouting, "Praise be the King, the one who comes in the name of the Lord," recognizing that he is fulfilling the messianic prophecies to come in to Jerusalem the right way. It fulfills the prophecies of Daniel, where Daniel's weeks of 70 weeks of years. After 69 weeks, the anointed one will come in, but then he'll be cut off. And then there's one last week of years, last 7 year period. It's broken by a gap called the Age of the Gentiles. Now, that's a whole other sermon series. Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on exactly the correct day to fulfill that prophecy of Daniel. It's after, it goes 69 weeks, that's weeks and years, 483 years from the decree of Cyrus to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. Jesus rode in to Jerusalem. That's what the prophet said. Jesus also is the one that came in and cleansed the temple. He's the one that the religious leaders didn't question whether cleansing the temple was right or wrong. They questioned, "Who gave you the authority to do that?" Not that acknowledging that they had done wrong by turning God's house of prayer into a marketplace. Jesus then taught the people and answered all the trick questions of the religious leaders. He told a parable showing that the religious leaders were like a group of tenant farmers who were not acknowledging who the true owner of the vineyard was. And remember, the vineyard is used throughout the Old Testament to describe Israel. When they understood, the religious leaders understood Jesus used a parable against them. But he answered the question from the Pharisees, "Should we pay taxes to Caesar?" Remember, Jesus didn't answer. Give Caesar the things of Caesar, give God the things that are God. Then the Sadducees, who do not believe in a resurrection of angels and demons, they came up and said, "In the resurrection, if a man, according to Moses, dies without a son, he's supposed to, his brother is supposed to marry the widow so that it'll be, the family line will be carried on that son. In the resurrection, there are seven men that a brother is going to marry this widow, and none of them have children. Whose wife did she make? And then Jesus explained, yes, there is a resurrection. Because of the Sadducees, remember, only believe the first five books of the Bible to be authoritative. And so Jesus quoted from Moses at the burning bush. God said to Moses, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. And then Jesus said, God is the God of the living, not of the dead. When Moses was confronted by God in the burning bush, God didn't say, I was the God of your father. I was the God of Abraham. I was the God of Isaac. I was the God of Jacob. Moses said, I am. And Jesus then refutes, answers their trick questions, and they can't ask him another question. Even though they knew, the religious leaders knew he was the Messiah. He fulfilled all the prophecies. The question then comes up from Lindsay's sermon. Who is the Messiah? And the Messiah is the one that makes everything right. He's the one that sets all of God's plan in right order. Who is the Messiah? Now that's the question that Jesus fulfilled with everything in the dictionary that he's beside. That's the truth. He's the one that makes everything right. But like the religious leaders, sometimes we fall into the trap. Who do we trust to make everything right in our lives? Jesus is the only one that can make everything right between a sinful man and a holy God. But do you trust him to do that in your life? Or are you like the religious leaders who want to acknowledge superficially the truth, but refuse to do anything about it in their lives? There's a story that was told about a church. They had had problems with their church, and they had to find another place to be. The church had burned. The only place they could find that would work was the bar down the road, because it was closed on Sunday. Well, there happened to be two owls that lived in the bathroom of the bar. And so in comes Sunday, all these people come from church. And one owl says to the next, what's going on? This is supposed to be our day to sleep and not be disturbed. The other owl said, I don't know what's going on. I recognize the people, but I just never seen them here on Sunday. Sometimes our life doesn't match up with our words. We need to be sure that what we say we believe, we pull out. And so while the people were listening, he said to his disciples. So it's not just talking to his disciples. He's talking to his disciples while everybody's listening to what he's saying. So he's giving a message to everybody, but focused on disciples. Like right now, I'm giving a message to those in this auditorium, but it's also being recorded. And so anybody listening to the recording are included in this message. But I hope the audience right now is right here, but it also includes everyone. And the words that Jesus gave right here to his disciples, we are listening to. Even though we were not sitting there in the temple or standing listening to Jesus talk and teach, but we're still hearing his message. There's a devotional that I read, and one thing that goes through this daily devotional, he talks about how God chose specific things to record in the scripture for us to learn. Now, some things you might see as trivial, but But God chose to have it written down because there's a purpose in having it written down. We need to understand the truth that all of God's words are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and explaining ourselves. We need to understand all the scripture is there to benefit us. Well, the religious leaders, they were supposed to be God's representatives to the people of Israel and to the world, teaching the truth. Now, many years ago, yes, I sat down and tried to figure out the day of this. Way, way back last century when I was in the Navy, I had the benefit of going to many foreign countries and seeing many of the sights of the world and many of the people. And I wore this uniform. It set me apart. Now, part of that thing of wearing a military uniform, you're a representative of the government of the country that you wear the uniform of. Unfortunately, being in the Navy, there are many people that didn't see anything once they got off the ship at the nearest bar. And then they were not very good testimonies or ambassadors of the United States to all kinds of people in those countries who visited. Because we stood out and wearing our, in the summer, our white uniform with our white Dixie cup hat. And it wasn't until I went to the Navy Club that I was going to chase this club. Go to Thailand. Who's wearing a Navy Dixie cup? It's just pulled off of the head. So if now you can go back and look at Gilligan's book to Thailand. But we stood out. And we were to be ambassadors. Well, the people that were supposed to be ambassadors were the scribes and Pharisees. They were put in a position to teach the people the truth. But look at what Jesus says. When all the people are listening, he said, beware of the scribes who want to go around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and place of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and say long prayers just for show. They receive the harsh confession. Now, in your bulletin, I gave you a picture of what the Pharisee looked like at that time. Now, this isn't just real color in it. But coloring in, that's actually better than packing your watch to make sure that it's working. We've got the same one forever. Well, if you color in, it looks like the ladies on here listen to taking notes. But you notice around his head, he's got this big scarf. And at the bottom, there's a little fringe. Well, according to scripture in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy 22:12 and Numbers 15:37-39, they're supposed to be on the four corners of your robe, a little tassel. And there's a blue cord that goes through the tassel. And each of those tassels are to remind you to keep God's commands. So every time you put your clothes on or when you walk, that tassel is there. God is in charge. That's what it's there for. But the Pharisees have made their tassels so long that look how religious I am. I'm keeping all of God's commands. Four is not enough. I'll make more. Look at me. It's just like when I was in the Navy. You can spot me a mile off with my white uniform against all the other colors of clothes. You can spot a person in the Navy dressed white, long veil. Well, you can spot a Pharisee, a long veil. Scripture also told them that they are to bind God's word on their heads and on their hands. What that means is it should control what we think and what we do. But they took it literally, and they had a big box on their head. It's called a phylactery. And inside were four different scriptures. And they also, if you look at your picture, you notice he's got these bands on his arm. Well, there's another box of scripture tied to his arm. And it goes all the way down to his hand. And they would make their little boxes of scripture not look like a little small matchbox size, but like a big cigar box size. But I remember growing up in school, we always had, that's what we had, a pencil and crayons and old cigar boxes. Well, I don't remember my teachers. But back to the main part. Don't be like the Pharisees, because they do things to be seen by people. There's four main things they do. They do things just to be seen. That's why they wear the clothes that makes them stand out. Their robes are longer than everybody else. You can spot them. Oh, there's a religious person. Do it. Not because of God's word says, but because they want it. They also want to do things to get attention. They say long prayers just for show. Not that long prayers are wrong, but when you're doing it just for people to say, ah, a new record on the prayer. You must be very religious. The length of your prayer was not quite your own Christian. They also wanted the best seats. Now, I have to talk about David's comment earlier about how the best seats, they have people come to the front. Well, it was obviously not a Baptist church, because a lot of people, the best seat in the Baptist church, people think, are the back pews. Yes. And I remember saying this thing, people were advertising for sale. A pew for Baptist church was in the front row, never been used. But I like to be up front so I can hear, and so I can see what's going on, because I can't see the people behind me. And now I can. Well, they wanted the best seats. And in the synagogue, it was the ones up front. So they wanted to be seen. And they wanted everybody to see them. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus addresses this in more detail. And that's where he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! You do all these things, but you're ignoring the truth. And that they desire money. They would have other people give money so that they benefit from it. So they could get more long robes and tassels and bigger flatteries for the scripture that people look at. Now, do we ever do that also? Do we ever do things that God says to do, but do it in a way so that other people can see us? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses this issue. He said, when you pray, don't do it to be seen by people, but go in secret. Your Father knows in secret what the Lord's in. And when you fast, don't go around looking, "Oh, I'm fasting, I'm so religious." No, Timothy. Clean your face. Dress up so people will not look at you and say, "Oh, he's fasting." But will instead say, God will say, "You're doing right, you're doing And when you give your offering, don't do like many of the religious people did time of year. Even some of the Pharisees would have people play special music before they gave the offering. Now, watch the Pharisees give their offering. And then you hear the guy in his clothes and put his money in. Look, look. And in Matthew 23, when Jesus is giving the commands and the blows to the scribes and Pharisees, you should have done these without neglecting the more important things. It's not wrong to obey God's command. But if you're obeying God's command, just so other people are doing it, and now we have another example. We have an example of the scribes and Pharisees. They're doing everything for show. They're rejecting the Messiah. They're trying to find a way to kill him because they want people to say, you scribes and Pharisees, you're the ones we need to look for. Instead of recognizing Jesus is the Messiah, the one who's coming to make everything right, say, we need to follow him. And the scribes and Pharisees certainly don't follow us after we follow Jesus. Well, in chapter 21, while all the rich are dropping their offerings in, and in the offering, they have things called trumpets, a big round container that went into a holding container. And so there were four of them, as I understand, in the temple. And so you can watch where people are paying their offerings. Well, four of them gave two small things. Jesus said, she is given more. That's all she had in the world. But she is trusting God. God says, we're fine. She did. But she trusted God. Thank you, everybody. In the parallel passage in Matthew, he talks about how our prayer to God. Give us our daily bread. Give us what we need. God will take care of all our needs. In unexpected ways, they wait for the Lord. Now, does God always give us what we want, when we want it, how we want it? No. God is not obligated, and it's not for our best interest. God gives us what we want, what we want, how we want. But God gives us what we need, when we need, and how we need. Sometimes, my hip's been hurting me this week, going up and down these stairs reminds me. It's nice that God is still doing things to walk. For some people can't walk. Some people have to be carried around. He can't carry around his dad. Dad's still listening, Elijah's listening. He can't walk yet. Now, if Elijah could walk right now, he can't keep up with him. But there's more kids who walk sooner than him. But when we have eggs and pagans, that reminds us of the questions for our questions. When we have financial difficulties, that reminds us of God and care for the needs. When we have all kinds of problems, that reminds us of the turn of God because He has a solution. If you look at the book of Job, all kinds of things happened to Job. Everything he had was taken away today. And then later, in another day, his help was gone. It was just so considered, should I accept what I am performing? His wife was saying, was cursed God and died. And I can jump. I don't understand why. And if you read the book of Job, nowhere in the book of Job is Job told why he was going through what he was going through. But when we read the book of Job, we see what's happening in heaven, where Satan is coming before God to give an account, to get permission to mess with Job. Job didn't see it. Job saw the results. God's name in the Job. He was a righteous man. Well, we have two examples to look at in the passage. The Pharisees, the scribes, the midwives, the show, or the poor widow who trusted God in the parents. Here's an example of giving to God. I remember when I was in seminary in New Orleans, we went to this church. Now, New Orleans is pretty much the same climate as here. And anything a bit more humid. In the middle of summer, there's people wearing fur coats to church. Now, I don't know, even in the dead of New Orleans, if you ever think fur coat. But they were doing it to keep up with other people wearing fur coats. We are doing new things on your own for the right reason, for this reason. God knows how to help you. God knows what you're doing with you. God knew that poor woman was away from her small things. Jesus didn't go over, let me look at your purse, see what else you're doing. He knew. He also knew his God was a Pharisee. Now, what is it? There's only two places you can go spend your life. Heaven or heaven. And the only way to get into heaven is heaven to see your people. And they cannot be thrown by your hands. So they are given by God, given on the cross, with his selfless love. He paid our debt. There are a lot of people in the world today that want to be born in the truth. They need to hear the truth. And guess who gets to tell them that? We do. We have the opportunity to tell other people how we do. It's not up to us to make a decision for them. It's just up to us to tell them. Tell them how we do. So first, we need to I'll be here to do the service. But God is available 7 days a week, even during leap year. He's there on the 29th of February on leap year. Every day of the year. Every hour of the day, every minute of the hour, every second of the day, he's available and he wants you to come to him. Lord, thank you for this truth, that you love us more than we can imagine, and that you don't want us to be like the hypocritical Pharisees and scribes who just followed your word for show, but your truth didn't affect their hearts, their lives. Lord, let your love, your truth, dominate our lives, and let other people see that we are different because of what you have done. Jesus' name.